Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
An ambassador for the Dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Bucks Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome back to Bucks Beat, episode 42. Call it an SEC championship game deep dive. Featuring former Alabama quarterback and Crimson Tide radio color analyst John Parker Wilson. You know, this is the matchup most all of the Bulldog Nation wanted, and now we get it with the number one Bulldogs facing number three Alabama. The Tide has won six in a row in this series, and the last three have been nothing short of heartbreaking for the Georgia Bulldog Nation. Alabama has certainly been Georgia's nemesis in recent years. Can the Bulldogs finally take down Alabama? We'll break it down with JPW coming up here in just a second. Bucks Beat is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. If you're searching for a Lake Lanier property or a home up 400, Mickey and his team are experts. Call 678-341-7474 or go to GetMickey.com, click, and speak with an expert. Bucks Beat is also sponsored by T-Mobile, America's largest, fastest, and most reliable 5G network. Let's break it down on both sides of the ball.
Bucks Beat.
John Parker Wilson joins me to drop some knowledge on the big matchup. Let's start with that Alabama offense. JPW, great to have you on, by the way.
So good to be with you. So good to be with you. How's everything going?
Man, we're doing well. Look, the elephant in the room. What's the deal with that offensive line? Seven sacks against Auburn. Can they fix it in 1 week? Can they block this Bulldog front seven?
I think that's going to be the big question for Alabama. And I think it's, at the end of the day, the game's going to come down to that. We made some changes in the second half at offensive line, almost a wholesale change. We changed out the start center, Darian Dalcourt, who was injured a few weeks ago, replaced him with a young guy, replaced right guard Emil Ekior with J.C. Latham, a huge recruit who's gotten a little bit of playing time, but not a ton. The center, by the way, is from Buford, Seth McLaughlin, so a local product of you guys coming in at center. I don't know if Dalcourt's going to be back yet or it's going to be McLaughlin at center. And then at right tackle, we moved back to who's been starting all year, Chris Owens, at the right tackle position, who was relieved by Damian George. So it looked better from Alabama in the second half. They started moving the ball better and protecting Bryce better. But I think that's the football game's going to come down to that. Can we block you guys up front?
How do you expect O'Brien to attack this top-rated Georgia defense? With balance? I mean, typically when you face, at least my history tells me, when you're facing a top defense, you need balance. You got to throw it when they expect you to run it, and then run it when they're expecting you to throw it. Alabama's had balance a big part of the year, but what about the running back spot? Can Brian Robinson get back in there and be a difference maker? It looks like there's some drop-off to Trey Sanders.
There definitely is. Trey Sanders was hurt during the offseason, so kind of been working him back in the game. And he really came into the season, Trey Sanders did, as the fourth on the depth chart. So we had Roy Dell Williams that was behind Brian Robinson, so go down a few weeks ago. Jace McClellan, another running back, went down a few weeks ago. So now we're back to Brian Robinson, who also exited the Auburn game with an injury. I think he's listed as questionable for the game on Saturday. And then you got You got Trey Sanders, who has become more part of the offense. I think he's a very dynamic running back, catches the ball well out of the backfield. Not a big bruising type running back, but does some nice things. And then we've seen a converted true freshman wide receiver come in and play running back. So I think you're right, though. I think when you go against an elite defense, if you become one-dimensional, it becomes very easy for the defensive coordinator to scheme against that. So what I did like from Bill O'Brien and the Alabama offense this past week, we struggled in the running game, but he didn't abandon it. He stuck with it, and it became more productive as the game went on. So I think we have to do that because and I think that's going to give Bryce more time in the pocket. If we have a little bit of a running game, it's going to soften up that pass rush, which is what we want to do because right now, you know, Bryce Young he's been pretty phenomenal. He's getting it done. He makes plays, but it's very tough to make plays if you don't have any time.
Yeah, from what I see, Brian Robinson, he's a real difference maker on that Alabama offense.
He is. He's a really good running back, catches the ball well in the backfield. He's an experienced guy. And, you know, he's been a big part. In our games that we've been successful, he's gone over 100, you know, 150 yards. And that's what we need. We need him involved and also Jamison Williams and Mechie to bring that balance. And without the balance, it's tough. It's tough against a top-rated defense. It's tough against anybody if you're just relying on the pass, especially with the pass rush that Georgia has. So Brian's going to have a big day, and so is the offensive line. And, you know, even Bryce pulling it down, he can hurt you with his feet. Bryce is very calculated about when he runs, what the defense is, and protecting himself. So I look for Bryce to kind of get the running game going also because – he's a pretty dynamic player back there.
My concern is that Bryce Young and Jamison Williams are going to hook up on some big explosive plays. You've seen it all year long. Do they go after Kelee Ringo? So you got Kendrick on one side, the transfer in from Clemson that's played a ton of football. At the other corner, you got the young guy who's played really some good football at cornerback opposite of Kendrick. That looks like an area that Alabama may want to get after the young guy, Kelee Ringo. But Young and Williams, they've been doing it all season long.
They have. I mean, they are a pretty dynamic duo. Jamison Williams has got so much speed. He's really good on the deep ball, and he's gotten better as the season's gone off with his game of the short intermediate catches of creating some separation and then getting some yards after catch. So Williams' game is definitely evolved. I think Bryce throughout the season has hit the deep ball a lot better and has started anticipating those deep balls, throwing them in the air, and it's become a big part of the offense is these explosive plays and not being reliant on 10, 12 play drives, which against a defense like Georgia's, it's pretty difficult. I mean, it's difficult to do that drive after drive after drive and expect to be successful. So I think with Alabama, when the offense is the best is when both receivers are involved, where you can't just tilt the defense toward Jamison Williams. Mechie has really come on here in the second half of the season and increased his explosiveness, increased his yards and explosive plays. And I think that's what Alabama has to do. It can't just be one guy. It can't just be one phase of the offense where it's just relying on the pass, like we talked about being balanced in offense. But to me, Jamison Williams is a weapon. And luckily he got a targeting penalty last week against Auburn. Luckily for us, that was in the first half. So we'll get him this entire game because he's a dynamic player. I mean, leading the SEC right now in yards. And I think Bill O'Brien has got to almost, you know, not force him the ball, but feature him and feature those deep plays and try to connect on them early. I think you want to test the waters early and see what the Georgia defense is going to do, how they're going to handle those deep play action passes, which has been pretty successful for Alabama so far.
Another factor that I'm keyed in on is Georgia's typically offensively been getting off to slow starts with Stetson Bennett as the quarterback, and I think that they're looking to run the ball maybe a little bit more to try to set up the play action, even with seven or eight men in the box. So I think if the Tide offense can get off to a fast start and play from the front, could change the dynamics of this game.
Yeah, and in the games where Alabama has struggled, be it Texas A&M, LSU, the total was 20-14 of that game, and LSU got into a lead. And even Auburn, where you know our offense was anemic the first three quarters, when we can get out on people and start forcing their hand and trying to make them keep serve with us scoring touchdowns, I mean, it's tough for anybody. And, you know, obviously Georgia wants to get out to a big lead. Well, so do we. But this offense is really geared for that, I think, where you can get out on people and I think rely on the defense. And I think these teams are very similar on both phases where defense is really excelling right now. Our offense has been there, has shown spurts, has been able to score, you know, 50 points a game pretty regularly. But the past few weeks, it's come down to protection, and both run protection and being able to run the ball, and then protecting Bryce. Because last week against Auburn, I think, you know, anytime you have seven sacks, it's going to be tough to score points. And Auburn showed that, of just getting back. And Auburn was able really to do it with just four and five guys rushing, where you can keep a lot of your secondary back there covering our wide receivers.
All right, let's flip it over. Let's look at the Alabama defense taking on the Georgia offense. The big concern for me as a Georgia guy is that Jamari Sawyer, our NFL-caliber left offensive tackle, dinged his foot up again. He's been out. He's missed four games in a row. There's a good chance we won't see him in this game. So you got a young sophomore, Broderick Jones, lined up against one of the beasts in college football, Will Anderson Jr., leading college football in sacks with 14.5. This looks like advantage Alabama. Talk about Will Anderson and what he's bringing to the table.
Man, he's a special talent. I mean, 14.5 sacks, and you know, defenses have to focus on him. He is a big guy. He's as athletic as it gets. You know, plays outside linebacker. A lot of times you'll see Pete Golding and Coach Saban putting him down at a defensive line position, defensive end, even, you know, a tackle position, just trying to create mismatches with him because he is so dynamic where he can play a lot of different positions. He can even cover pretty good downfield. I think you got to know where he's at, because if he's one-on-one, I mean, he's getting back to the passer. This guy he's got size, he's got the speed, he's got a pretty impressive just bull pass rush where he puts people on skates and gets back to the backfield. But I think a lot of Will Anderson's success is obviously he's a fantastic player, but our linebacker core is pretty deep. Christian Harris is a really good side-to-side player, athletic ability. Henry To'o, our transfer from Tennessee right now, leading the team in tackles. And to me, he's probably the most improved player on defense from week one until now. We're really understanding what Saban's trying to do defensively and being aggressive. And I tell you what, too, our young guy, Dallas Turner, number 15, he's coming to the lineup after injuries to Chris Allen, our starting Sam linebacker, and then Drew Sanders was injured also with a broken hand, so he hasn't played lately. But Dallas Turner's another guy, kind of has shown some serious flashes of pass rushing. So with Will Anderson on one side and then Dallas Turner kind of a true speed pass rusher, kind of, you know, bends his shoulder and able to get back to the quarterback, it's a pretty good duo with them rushing the passer. So not only Will Anderson, but look for Dallas Turner to make some plays because he's really been showing up the past few weeks getting back to the passer.
Yeah, I think it's a really good matchup at the second level where you got – the guys you just got through talking about, Harris and To'o and Turner, the second-level guys, even Battle, you seeing him in the box. Going up against the Georgia running back core, which is really dynamic, with Zamir White and James Cook and Kenny McIntosh, and then these Georgia tight ends, especially Brock Bowers, who's had a tremendous season. That is probably one of the big matchups in this game.
No doubt. And, you know, Alabama, yeah. When struggled on just true man-to-man matchups, it's been against the tight end. It really has. And we've got some pretty good nickel guys that come down. You'll see Malachi Moore. You'll see Brian Branch play the nickel. And if they can't guard the tight end, then you'll see Battle or Hellams try to guard them. But to me, like you said, Jordan Battle, probably our best safety, one of our best secondary guys right now on just understanding defense and what we're trying to do, but also being aggressive. And we've seen him get a lot more aggressive in the running game. And when you've got running backs like Georgia does, you got to have good secondary support. of being able to get down there and help out with the front seven, I think battles that guy, and he's kind of emerged as a you know, a strong safety, get down the box and get in there. And it's you know, with when you've got that many running backs and you've got a good tight end, you got to have that secondary support getting down there and helping, which then is going to put some of our cornerbacks on the island, right? We've seen Josh Jobe and Jalen Armour Davis have really been our starting cornerbacks. Lately, we've seen Kool-Aid McKinstry come in of relief of both of those guys. So Alabama's still kind of tinkering with who's playing corner behind, you know, the front seven.
John Parker, I know you hadn't been studying Georgia all season, but you've probably seen the highlight packages. What has been your first impression or your impression of the quarterback Stetson Bennett and what he's doing?
Making plays. I mean, he's consistent and he's careful with the football. I think he's very surgical in what he does and you know, having a purpose with the offense. And consistency when you have a defense like that is huge. And when you can go back and you can rely on your defense is going to be there, and then put pressure on the other teams to keep up with the points that Georgia's scoring. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job of doing exactly what he needs to do for the Bulldogs: spread the ball around, you know, not try to do too much, but also make them pay when you get your chances. And to me, he has made those chances pay. He's converted on those deep balls, and when he gets a chance, he's been good. And you know, there's a lot of players that Georgia has, and he's doing a good job of spreading it around, not focusing on one person, but getting everybody involved, which makes it pretty daggum tough on the defense coordinator when you get as many playmakers as Georgia does. So, I mean, he's playing football right now. He's leading the team, and that's what I see about Georgia, is just they're on a mission right now, and they have been all season long, and even being able to handle the number one ranking in the country for as long as they have, I think they've settled into that, and they're on a mission right now. So I think this is going to be a good football game with where they're at, with Alabama kind of with the inconsistency we've shown a pretty high ceiling, but it's going to take a full football game to be able to come in and knock off Georgia, the number one seed in the country.
Bulldog fans are still hurting from the national title game and then the SEC title game, both in 2018, one at the beginning of the year, one at the end, where Alabama had their backup quarterback coming in and leading a comeback victory. Tua came off the bench, won the national title game for you guys. Hurts came off the bench, the SEC title game to get you back in the playoffs. Georgia missed out and led a backup comeback victory in that game. So I've got a hunch, though, if Georgia falls behind, that they're in a good spot with JT Daniels, the passing quarterback that has lost his job because Stetson Bennett's playing so well. Georgia at least has their passing quarterback ready to come in and maybe try to salvage the day.
And that's tough, right? When you've got to prepare for two quarterbacks and kind of two different styles of offense, that makes it tough on the other defense, because you do have to give that respect that there are two viable quarterbacks back there. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen in this game. Do you bring him in? Do you not? You know, it's something that Alabama's got to be aware of. And they're both really good quarterbacks. I mean, we've seen what Stetson's been done all year. JT Daniels, you know, we know what he could do and his ability to be back there as a passer. So it's going to be tough. This is going to be a good game. I mean, in Alabama playing with these backups, we're kind of doing it again this week, right? With I think it's going to be a rebuilt offensive line with injuries at the running back position. And some younger guys, you know, we saw last week, Ja'Cory Brooks came in the Auburn game with two catches.
Oh, that was huge.
Two catches on the entire year, and was able to catch the game-winning touchdown. So Alabama right now was relying on those young people, and I think that's tough on the Georgia team too, because you're having some guys that you don't have a lot of tape on, that you haven't seen much at all. I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks now four catches and that one touchdown on the season.
Huge.
I think you're going to see other people too. Christian Leary, the running back, who's converted wide receiver, probably get him more involved in the game. So it's going to be I think this is going to be a chess match type of game of get in there, see what the other team's doing, and then whoever adapts and makes the best adjustments is going to win the game.
What would you say would be the two or three things that Alabama needs to do to be able to win this game?
I think we've got to be able to block up front. We've got to be able to run the ball and give some kind of protection to Bryce Young. That's going to be the biggest thing to me. Explosive plays on offense, not trying to go 12, 14 play drives and sustain those every drive and win the game. Have a couple, two or three play drives, and then create turnovers. I mean, games like this, you know, if you turn the ball over one or two times, it becomes extremely difficult to win. If you're, you know, net negative in the turnover game, it's tough when you give up those drives. I see this being a lower scoring game, and the lower score in the games, those turnovers hurt even more. So those are going to be pass protection, explosive plays, and then trying to create some kind of turnovers on that Georgia offense.
For Georgia to win, I would say, number one, got to win the line of scrimmage battle. And that has been a supreme challenge against Alabama in the previous matchups. In recent memory, Georgia needs to win the battle up front on both sides. Number two, you got to control Will Anderson Jr. He's a beast, making plays all the time. Got to get that young tackle some help against him. And then you got to chase down Bryce Young, and I feel pretty good about these Georgia linebackers. Tindall, N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker do a great job chasing down these quarterbacks. Got to make sure Bryce Young's not hurting you outside the pocket. John Parker Wilson, it is time for the Big Three.
Let's roll out the Big Three.
Number one. All right, you were the quarterback in the transition from Shula to Saban. What did you notice about the culture change and the way Saban went about things differently?
Well, it was just that. It was different, right? And I think anytime you have a new coach come in, it's going to be different. And, you know, I think Coach Shula did so much for Alabama, and in a tough time, you know, people forget we were on probation there when he was coming in. Limited scholarships. I think I graduated with eight or nine seniors, which is not a lot. So Coach Saban was able to come in and take what we had, and obviously recruit really good, but really bring a different mindset to what we were doing. And I think Coach Shula from the pros was different than what you typically see in college, where Coach Saban came in. He had a blueprint for success that he brought from LSU. He knew exactly what he wanted to do literally every day of the year, from the time he got there to, you know, off-season training to spring training to summer workouts to going to camp. Had a plan of what the players needed it to do literally every single day, all day long. So it just came in with a different structure on focusing and getting the right people in there. But I think more than anything, of changing the mindset and changing the way you thought about football and the way you thought about going about your business. You know, you used to hear a lot about the process and getting ready for it. And I think he was able to really get in there and teach us how to win.
Number
because
two,
I think we were really close, but we had to learn how to win. We had to learn how to win tight football games.
All right, number two, looking back at it, your best moment as the Alabama quarterback was what?
Blackout.
The blackout. I don't want to talk about that.
No, I know it's an easy one. To me, my best moment. Look, our senior year was really special. We were 6-6. My first 2 years playing, starting, and we had lost a lot of those tough games. But our senior season, we kind of came in, and in Saban's second year, to me, able to turn around the Alabama program, where we were the average ball club. We were able to get back. We had some huge wins. We started off against Clemson in you know, kind of the first big opening college football kickoff game. Georgia on the road was huge. I mean, they were number two or number three. You know, Stafford out there dealing with no Sean Moreno and everybody else, able to go on the road and win. We beat LSU in the SEC to win the SEC West. So we started to figure out how to win. And we didn't finish it. We lost to Georgia in the SEC championship game. But I think, you know, taking what Saban was doing and changing the mindset and then just propelling us to where we're at today of just getting things going. And I think that was, you know, pretty special there in our senior season.
Those were the best of times, were they not?
They really were. It was fun, too. You know, it's not like we weren't expected to win every game. Every game was tight. It was huge. And it was fun. I mean, you're getting to go and start winning again. And we won 12 games that season. That's fun. You know, playing football, everybody says playing football is fun. What's fun is winning. Winning is fun, and we were able to do that.
I hear you, brother. All right, number three, you spent some time with the Atlanta Falcons after your college career ended. What was it like working with our Brian Finneran? Was he hard on you as a receiver working with a young quarterback? Tell us about B. Finn back then.
Finn is a man. He was the man. He was tough on me. He was very tough on the rookies. But you know, he was the older guy coming in, had to set the tone. But he was as good as it gets. He was, I mean, a played in the league forever. Was always willing to help people and looked out for people, and he became a really good friend. I mean, he really did. We still keep in touch. Him and you know, Matt Ryan. We had a really good team back there. And the Falcons was I got played for the Falcons, the Jaguars, and the Steelers. But to me, the Falcons organization and what Arthur Blank does is as good as it gets. And then you got Matt Ryan back there who, you know, has had the career that he has, Hall of Fame quarterback. But Finn was a man. It all started and ended with Finn, right? I mean, it always does.
John Parker Wilson, great having you on. Thanks for your time and insight.
All right, man. Have a good one. Can't wait to Saturday. It's going to be fun.
Time to step up with my game prediction. Georgia 31, Alabama 20. The Tide with 20 points would be a season high scored against that Georgia defense. Appreciate you hanging out on Bucks Beat, the podcast. Join me next week for more.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.